hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest thing, but wholly live on Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we are standing on solid ground. Thy word, thy holy word, Lord. For in your word we stand, Father. And every other ground is just sinking sand. For Lord, there is no foundation. And the foundation of our life is in Christ Jesus, the word of God. So Father, we thank you this morning that we could be here, gathered together once again, Father. Fellowship, worship, and hear your word. May you bless us, Father. Amen. And for those, Lord, who could not be here today, whether they be a duty of work, Lord, Father, or they're not feeling well, we just commit them to you, Lord. We are committing this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be sitting. When we are on the subject of the serpent and the trail of the serpent, one of the most important features we need to know in understanding this trail and is to watch for the mark. Now the mark of the serpent, or to begin with, the seed of the serpent was Cain. So we said the mark of Cain is the signs. Because we know already from the very beginning that when God created Adam, before he created Adam, he created the serpent. And the serpent was the last of all the beasts of the field. Very intelligent, could talk and relate and communicate with men. He looks like man, and as you know, so that he could be a servant to Adam. Only that he was not created in the image of God and the likeness of God. Alright, so he was in the animal's kingdom, and he was bigger than Adam because he was to be a servant to Adam. Now, he's definitely slightly bigger than Adam. The thing is about this peculiar mark is that it's not only physical. The Bible tells us that the serpent was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. It means to say that he is smart, very knowledgeable. He knows about life. He knows about, you know, what transpired as far as reproduction is concerned. You know. So just imagine that. So when we talk about the size, it's physical as well as mental. I think I can use the word mental, right? Mentality. It means that he's smart. You understand that? Okay. So now when we realize this, that after the serpent committed fornication, or Eve committed fornication with the serpent, right? We would say, they give birth to the son, a child called Cain. Now we know that Cain must be also as big as his father, the serpent. You know, you have to realize that, right? Like father, like son. Tendency is there. So when the two lines cross between the Seth line, and the Cain's line, after two generations, giants were born. The Bible says giants were born. And this we find it in the book of Genesis chapter 6. When the sons of God went in after the daughters of men, and they bring forth giants. Okay, now as I said, in the first generation, you don't necessarily get giants. Alright, which is very, very rare that you actually get giants. It's only in the second to the third generation. Even in the second generation, you might not even get giants. But in the third generation, you will get giants. Or the genetic flaws will start coming out after the second generation. So when we talk about giants now, and if you look into what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 6, because I want you to really look at this field, because it goes all the way to our days, alright? Genesis chapter 6, and it says over here in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So now, if not about giant, it has to be also physical. Because they are big guys too. And not all of us are all big, but there are also some big in the mind. You get what I'm saying? Smart, very intelligent, and very cunning. But the Bible tells us that these people have become very wicked. They are very wicked, and their thoughts is always towards evil. Now I don't know whether you may not think so, but if you look at the world today, generally speaking now, because we're all mixed, okay? All these Canic people, alright, the descendant of Cain, they're called the Canaanites, they're all destroyed in the flood. But if they exist in our day, you can be very sure they're very wicked. And they're only thinking of evil things. The evil thoughts that they have is always against God. What God had done, they try to undo the things of God or try to imitate God in such a way that they bring some errors into, or evils into the thing that they will do, they are doing. You see. So this is the thing that always opposes God. So when we talk about the Bible here, now we are not talking about any other religion. Okay? All religions came from, you know where it started? It started from the Garden of, just outside the Garden of Eden. When Cain offered to God sacrifice, just like Abel. Because the firstborn son of Adam was Abel. You know that. Alright? And the firstborn son of the serpent, of course, was Cain. And you know what happened, right? The Bible said it came to a time when they were big enough, they offered God a sacrifice. Now, notice again the sacrifices. Abel offered to God an animal. He slit the throat of the animal to shed blood. Cain brought from his garden, his farm, the best produce he could find. The best produce that he had grown. Maybe the nicest, a beautiful pumpkin, watermelon, mango, apple, papaya, whatever, vegetables. And he brought the best and offered it to God. But the thing is that, as I said this, and I told you, I show it to you already, that it is not because king does not know what was required. He knew what was required, but he doesn't want to do it. Now there are people who say, no, Cain as a serpent seed, he had no revelation. That is not true. That is not true. If you have been brought up in a family, as of course, if you know, when I was young, I was living with my father's first wife, and she being, of course, a Taoist, a Confucianist, a Buddhist, you know, they all kind of mixed religion there, and they offered to all these idols, and I just went along with it. Of course, there were curiosity as to all these idols. And of course, they didn't tell us very much what it was, what we do, why we did that, except for a few things, why we have to pray to the kitchen God, and, you know, to the front God, and things like that. And if you, and most Christian family, I would say, if they are really devout Christian, when they have children, they will raise up the children in the knowledge of God's word. They will raise up the child, how many, I don't know, let's say they have children. They will raise up the children in the knowledge of God and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So to teach them and guide them why we parents go to church, why we worship Jesus. Now the same thing, Cain and Abel were living together under the roof of Adam, so to speak, and Eve. So every so often Adam would give a sacrifice to God. And when he gave a sacrifice to God, or the animal, he would shed blood. Because the animal had to be, you know, slaughtered. And blood was spilled. And Adam would tell them why this is done. Because of what happened in the garden, when they were there, when sin was committed, they tried to hide their nakedness by using fig leaves to cover their sexual organs. You know. And why fig leaf? Because why was literally trying to tell us, of course, in those days there's no clothing. Adam and Eve were naked. But they were not ashamed because nothing was wrong with nakedness. But when they commit something, not with their mouth, it's not an apple that they eat, we know that. But the denomination will tell you that they ate a fruit. Whether it's an apple or a pear or whatever it is, they ate a fruit from a tree. Some will say, no, it's not about the fruit of a tree. It's because they were disobedient in the first place. But if they were disobedient, then what did they eat? They caused them to be disobedient. If you tell me not to touch that certain thing, if I touch it, that means I'm disobeying it, right? It means I touch it. You see, so if he said that, well, it was just disobedient. If disobedience was not the eating of something or the doing of something that God forbid, then there's no disobedience. You know. So if it was a fruit, then why did they cover their private parts? And that is one thing denominational churches tradition dies with it, because they are used to hearing all this traditional doctrine and teaching that they think that it was something to do with the literal trees. But the Bible has a lot of figure of speech. You know. And so what we know is that what they committed was that Eve committed fornication with the serpent. And therefore she belongs to the serpent, but Adam cannot take her back. But Adam knew that he had to do something to take her back, or else he would be alone on this earth. There'd be no more wife. Because God gave only one wife, a woman, to Adam. But before she can consummate with Adam, she fornicated with the serpent. So she belonged to the serpent. That's why he put Adam in the street. So Adam had to save her and therefore identify with her sin.
And that's why when their eyes were open and God's Spirit left them, so to speak, the veil was lifted, they realized they had done wrong and that they were literally naked. That's why they covered their private part. They didn't cover their mouth. If only a denomination, sit down and think a little bit. Why the serpent seed doctrine is so important? Because this is what Satan did from the very beginning to try to destroy God's plan. And here we today we see even here on earth. You know. So because of that, Adam had to offer God, you know, sacrifices. I don't know how often he did that. Just to remember that he has sinned against the Lord and God had to slay I don't know how many sheep so that he could clothe Adam and Eve. You see, God had to slay some animals to clothe them. The Bible said he clothed them because strictly was not enough. So now Adam, so Cain and Abel raised up in the house. So if they were raised up in the house, they must know. But you see, the thing is that Cain, remember, he was the son of the serpent. And because the serpent was possessed by Satan, and therefore the spirit of Satan was in the serpent, passed over into Cain. And that is the reason for the rebellion. Do you remember what Lucifer did? Right? And think about it now. Go back a little bit. Lucifer was the most beautiful of all angels. But what he said in his heart, I wanted to be as God is God. I want to be like God. I want to build my throne. Where? The stars of the north. Now, see what he says. Okay, let's go to, I think it's Isaiah, if I'm not mistaken. Let's go to Isaiah. All right? What is that chapter, if you can remember? Okay, chapter 14 of Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 14 and verse 12 onward. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now remember, Satan's name was originally Lucifer, huh? But he changed the name was changed to Satan, means adversary. Okay, son of the morning. So it's beautiful. Okay, how art thou fallen? How art thou cut down to the ground? Which the wicked weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Now, a servant can never be above the master. A son cannot be above the father. But here you see Lucifer wanted to be as God. Not only he saw what he says in verse 13, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Not talking about the stars in heaven. The stars of God here is the angel. I want to be exalted above them all. He was already the most beautiful and the top notch of angels. But he was not satisfied. He was so lifted up. You know, he just like this. Okay, let's take for example Donald Trump. Poor fellow. I mean, he's already a president. Alright? He's the top guy over there in America, right? Yeah. And around the world, everybody said he's the top guy because America is the bigger, most powerful nation. But he always talk big and try to make himself, magnify himself the more. And this is what is the problem. If you are already in a position, don't try to make yourself bigger than what you are. And that's what Lucifer did. You know, he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be exalted above all the angels and to be recognized practically to worship. You know, it's just like this. Today, you know, we're talking about the Bible. That we are dealing with the Bible character. We are talking about Bible prophecy. Look at the Catholic Church, for example. The person that's high up there in the Catholic Church is the Pope. You know that, don't you?
Yes, it's the Pope.
So everywhere he goes, you know, people come, try to, you know, I'm talking about the Catholic people. They worship him like he was God. How did that come about? It goes back to the history of the Catholic Church. And if you look into the Catholic Encyclopedia, I mean, it's there. It is not fairy tales that we're talking about here. We're not speculating. Read through the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia. They said it is written there that the Pope, when he speaks as God. Do you know that? The word that the Pope spoke, alright, is for as God. As God's word. And so the same problem we have today with the Branhamites. Whatever Bob Ram said is Tassilo is God's word. And they make it this way, they want to lift up the man, but in this case of the Catholic Church is that it goes into all of the 4th century. And by and by they begin to form all, they come up with all these programs on and rules and by rule regulations and all the things that they will say about the system. Putting the Pope in a very high place. And the Bible said it's true. If we worship as God is worshipped today. Paul talk about it. And he said Christ will not return until this man of sin be revealed. He's already revealed, but he has yet to be incarnated by Satan. And that's when he will control the world and the system, like he did in the dark age. You see. Alright? So when we look at this about Cain, it's the same. Cain was just rebellious. He knew what to do. He knew to do right, but he refused to do it. He said, I don't need that anymore. I know God demands the best because Abel took the best of the sheep and offered it to God. But that sheep was slaughtered and blood was spilled. That's what God wanted. To let them know what happened in the Garden of Eden was that the blood was contaminated from animal blood mixed with man blood. That's why God was against this. Because God's law said, let everything bring forth its own kind. No hybriding. Now recently I was watching a documentary a couple of weeks ago. And they said that in some places out there in, I don't know where it was, Afghanistan or some places there, that they found a meal. You know what a meal is? A meal came up to a meal. Wow, that was sensational news. I said, wow, let me listen to see whether it is true or not. Because science said that it's impossible. And then another place, they also show that there was a liger that gave birth, it was a liger. That gave birth to a liger. And a liger is a lion and a tiger mixed together. Okay? A male lion, a female tiger, comes together, produce a liger. Okay? And the liger is sterile. It means it cannot give birth. You take another female liger with a male liger, they cannot produce. The same thing with a mule. A mule is from a male donkey and a female horse. Bring together, produce a mule. And that mule is stubborn like anything, but he's very strong. But you take a male mule and a female mule, and pretty you can't. But in this documentary, I said, wow, it caught my attention. I said, really? That means something's wrong with the Bible. And yeah, they show this and that, and you know, scientists went, and also they look at the liger was in another country. And then they try to figure out how this happened. You know how it happened? Because this mule was mixing with other horses and donkey in the field. And so a horse or a donkey mated with this mule. and was able to produce one.
You understand what I'm saying? That's possible. But two meal together, impossible. The same thing with the lion and the liger. They found they were mixing animals were out there in the field together. And they found, oh, it was a lion and this liger. And this one was able to produce another one. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just like what happened in Naamah's case. The wife of Noah. Who come in, he says, with the son. Is that right? You understand what I mean? The minister said that already Ham was a hybrid between the father and the mother, right? And now he got it incest with the mother. It's still possible to produce more of other deeper gigantic kind of a gene. That's why there was giant after that, after the flood. It came from the breeding of Ham and the mother that produced Canaan. And then Canaan later on, many of his descendants were giants. That's why the land of Canaan were filled with giants. The Jebusite, the Gigasite, the Havite, the Hittites, and all. You see. So, strangely enough, you know, sometimes when we look at the Bible tells us something, it holds true foundation. It doesn't shake. So, when we look at Cain, why did Cain not offer to God an animal sacrifice? But because he was proud. He built it, he grew vegetable with his own hand. He brought forth fruit trees, good fruit with his own hands. So he think that's sufficient. No, doesn't need blood. But God said, Cain, if you have done it right, I would have accepted your offering. And the Bible said to us, as Paul said, Cain's offering was excellent, right? But Abel's offering was more excellent. There were two things to it. The best and blood. So Abel gave God the best of all his flock. The best. I don't know how many he sacrificed. And then the shedding of blood was there. But for Cain, now he gave God the best of the field. But there was no blood. And God is not satisfied with that. And he said to Cain, if you have done right, if you have done well, I would have accepted. But since you have not done it right, the sin offering is right at the door in front of you. Sin's like at the door. That's what the Bible used the word. But that is a word that confuses a lot of people. Because the word sin in the Bible there means a sin offering as well. Christ was made sin for us, right? What does it mean? He was made a sin offering for us. So God said, if you have done right, I would accept it. But since you didn't do it right, sin offering lies right there before you. Take it. And God said, it is subjected to you. Do whatever you want with him. And you read that in chapter 4 of Genesis, is it? You see. So, but Cain, well, no, he's not satisfied, you know, and after that he went out in the field and he met Abel and started to talk with Abel. What do you think they talk about? Religion, obviously. And that's why war always fought on religious ground. Ideology. Now, I don't know, I read the paper this morning, it's kind of scary a little bit about in the earth today, in the world today, people are very crazy. A lot of people are so mentally affected because of stress, because of the problem. Here was in the paper, it happened in Singapore, I think. A couple was in the back of a taxi. You read about it? And they were quarreling in a taxi. And this young man was 22 years old. And the taxi was driving along the highway, and he just, after some quarreling, all this, he opened the door of the taxi and he jumped out of the taxi, he died. Just like that. He lost the war with his girlfriend, I guess. So he committed his own death. Of course, when he was angry, he would not beat up the girlfriend, or rather, took his own life. Isn't it?
And in China, in the same paper today, in China, they showed a picture, was on video, was 3 million viewers, I don't know in how many days. A woman was crossing a pedestrian crossing. And here, a car, a taxi hit her, and she fell on the road. And she tried to get up. Pedestrian was there, nobody cares. The lights turns green, car stopped moving, and one car ran over her. And everybody, nobody cares. That's China for you. Why they do that? Because all kinds of things happen. If you help somebody, if somebody drive, die, they blame it on you. Or sometimes extortion will come and all sort of things happen. We're living in a world that's crazy. Huh? People don't care. Right? That's self-centeredness. And that's what Cain was. He was all about himself. So in talking to Abel, well, I'm big brother, you know, I'm big brother. Don't talk down on me, you little guy. Things like that. So in a fit of fury, badger him to death. And bury him. Think nobody looks, nobody is around. There was nobody. Adam here wasn't there, but somewhere else. So nobody looks, nobody sees. You think you could just bury him under in the earth. But God's from above looked down. And that's why God gave him a curse. You will be a fugitive and a vagabond. He realized, he was shocked, because God cursed the ground again. Second time. The first time when he cursed the ground was after he judged Adam for what he did. Now he cursed the earth a second time to where the earth is no longer fertile. And he knew that he will be in danger of death. And he told God, he says, my punishment is too great. Whoever find me will want to kill me. Who would be people who want to kill him? Who would be his descendants later on? Because in those days people lived to a few hundred years. Remember that. Huh? So, when you look at the Bible, go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis. I want you to look at the signs. This signs that is always around this serpent seed. Alright, Genesis now. We go over to Genesis in chapter 4. And in verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from thy hand. When you till the ground, it shall know not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out these days from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that find me shall slay me. And God said unto him, therefore, whosoever slay Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. A very mysterious passage. And so I said, Genesis, the first few chapters of Genesis, very hard for many people to understand. And tradition have built their own doctrines around it. But here's a very simple thing here, if you ever look closely. God told Cain, because you kill Abel, you're buried in the ground, his blood is in the ground, his progeny crying out to me. It means that Abel's descendant can never be born. That is to say, by a figure of speech, a way of saying, the blood is crying out. And because what you have done, Cain, curses the ground. When you kill the ground will no longer give the strength to you anymore. And I think today what we see in many countries is just like that. The earth has been over cultivated, so to speak. They never let the land rest. And the more they put artificial chemical into it, artificial fertilizer into it, the earth is dying. All you need to do is follow the commandment of God. 6 days you work, 7 days you rest. 6 years you've used the ground, the 7th year, let the land rest. And you come back to strength. Why do we work 6 days and rest on the 7th day? Why do you think you need to rest? Some people don't care. They think they're a machine. They can run 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Are you kidding? No matter how beautiful and wonderfully made this body is, it needs rest. Even a machine needs to rest, so you have to go and oil it and check on it, right? Sure. If you don't maintain your car, what do you think happened to your car? One morning you wake up, you won't start. Huh? And that's why people are sick today, because they're overworked and under stress. I hope you're alright, Sister Valley. Don't get overstressed now. How often you have been sick because you're overstressed with all this work? You know? So, what happened to the earth now? When God cursed the earth, okay, you no longer get the amount of strength. I mean, from the beginning of the creation of the earth was very fertile. Now, I've been to Uganda, I've been to Kenya. That was supposed to be the, I don't know what was it that church you called that land. I can't remember now, I forgot. You know, the people don't have really too much of the land. If they have a house and they have a piece of land outside the house, you know, some people help, you know. No, all they do is they eat watermelon and the seed, they just throw it there. Whatever they eat, they just throw the seed there. You know, after a few months, you see, they all start growing and producing. Vegetables, you just throw and cut off the top and the root, whatever, just leave it there and it grows up again. And beautiful. The field is very nice. The vegetables are really wonderful. The land is fertile. But in many countries, they exploit the land. And just imagine if that was the kind of land the earth was from the beginning. It just grew. And harvest was plentiful. But now, because what Cain did, God told Cain, the earth is cursed now. It will not yield its strength for you anymore. And that's why Cain was horrified. Just to hear God said that, he was horrified. So my punishment is too great. I'll be a fixer. Whoever family would want to kill me, who are the people to kill him? It was his descendant, because they were farmers. And when the farm and the land was not producing the yield, how do you think? Huh? You know, many countries in the world today, you know, when they plant, the fruit comes out very small. Strawberry, for example. They are tiny little strawberry. In many places, the farm is not fertile, strawberry is small, and it's sour. And God told him, he said, oh, I will be a fugitive, whoever finds will want to kill me. God says, not so. You see, God gave him grace. And what did God said in the last verse? Therefore, whosoever slay Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. If anybody kill Cain, if he's talking to Cain, alright? Said, if anybody kill you, I will take vengeance on that person for you seven times. God is saying, then God put a mark on him. And the word mark here is the word token. It's the same. Put a mark on him. That is to tell Cain, if anybody could kill you, I will take revenge for you on the person seven times. That is to give the assurance to Cain that it is impossible and very difficult for people to kill you. Why? Because slowly, how long do you know he got married? Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. And I want you to look at it. Alright? We have Abel. Now, Abel here. Let me use another one. Now we have Abel. We have Cain. Alright? They were born in the same year. Is that alright? Okay. Now, when Cain killed Abel died. So, how many people were there in the garden now? Or outside the garden then, we'll say. We have Adam and Eve and Cain. That's it. Right? Okay, go on to chapter 5. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, make he him. Male and female create he them and bless them and call their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. A lot of people don't seem to be aware about the timing. Huh? Okay, so now, after Abel was killed, I don't know how old Abel was and how old was Cain when Cain killed Abel. Alright? But the Bible tells us that at the age of 130 years of Adam's life, then he gave birth to Seth. So all those years after Abel died, if he died at 30 years old, and then he never slept together, so there was no children born. Right? Let's say if Abel were to be killed at the age of 120, that's it. We do not know what was their age when they offered the offering to God. So it would be 10 years later that Seth was born. So by the time now that Seth was born, how old was Cain? Oh, 130, yeah. Right? Yeah, at least 130 years old. Obviously, it's around 130 or 121, whatever. Alright? I mean, if Adam was 130, I mean, it's better to say the same thing is, hey, you're 130. Right? Am I not right? Yeah, 130 years old. So, 130 years old, and Seth was just born. Not even 1 year old. Zero. Is it? Right? Now, it's only after that, as the Bible here said, and in verse 5, and all the dead that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse 4, sorry. Alright, Genesis verse 4. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth was 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters. So after Seth was born, Adam have a lot of sons and daughters born. So now, what age would be Cain if he took a wife? Let's say he took a wife, the daughter. Let's say they took a daughter at the age of 16 years old. 16, possible, right? You just keep a little young age. So he took a half-sister who was 16 years old. So he will be 146 years old. And Seth probably be around maybe 20, 30 years old, depends on, you know. Correct. So he takes maybe a few dozen of years before he have children. And by that time, of course, having fulfilled the number of children that he have, his body start to grow. Bigger and bigger, to become a giant. So when his descendants start to multiply and plant it, you know, to till the ground, and they discover that the ground have no longer give it strength, they would know. After all, it's just the beginning of life. Story will go around. Who was that that caused? Why is the earth like that? Why is it not fruitful? And so on and so forth. Why do we need to wear clothing? Why do we cover up? And so on. Sure, isn't it? Have you ever had your children ask you a question? Why do we dress like this and not dress like the Bengali? Or dress like the Nepalis? You know, or the Tibetans? Right? Correct enough. And why do we don't dress like the Malay, they dress a sarong? Why do we dress the way we dress? And what about in China? Why do they wear some food? I mean, I don't wear it, you know, ask a question. So, in those days, the question would be asked, people would know what happened to this earth. They know it was Cain, their great-great-grandfather, whatever. So they would want to kill him. But because Cain or whatever, the sign was big, nobody could. So remember this, it's all about the signs. It's always either the physical or the mental. smart, cunning, and Cain was able to evade his would-be murderer. If war come against him, they would not be able to kill him, because after all, he's bigger. He's bigger than them. He could be 8-9 feet tall. Huh? And he could hear a spear that is longer than theirs. And he could just swing and they could be cut down. But when he's got a group of them coming to attack him, wow, he's not going to sit around and wait for them. When he sees them coming, he will pack his bag and ask his younger children and his wife, let's go. And that's why the Bible says he became a fugitive and a vagabond. He knew where he would be, because they were chasing. They were wanting to kill him. But by later on, when cities were built, the many Canaanites no longer were farmers. They moved into the city. And when they move into the city, their lifestyle changes. You must understand that. And that's what the Bible said. Then when the Sadic people looked upon the woman of the Canaanite and said that they were fair. How can it be fair? Now if we were all living in a village, if we were all living in a village, Singapore is a village, not a city. What do you think? How do you think the woman would dress like? Do you think the woman put on makeup? When she shed her eyebrow, whatever, and a mascara, and do you think the woman would do that? No. People who live in a city are very sophisticated. People who live in the country, hey, you ever heard about country pumpkin? Huh? Simple folks. You know? So when they live in the city, the woman can become very sophisticated and be able to, the Kenyan people are mentally giant in the mind. They can, when they discover metal, the nickels are the metal. When they discover some herbs of the field, what it can do to the body, like jamu, they'd use it. When they discover color in the earth, they make cosmetic. That's what they are. So by and by then, become their last farmer, anybody want to kill Cain. You know. And by that time, of course, the certain people, you know, they're shipping God, they do have, there's no trade to go on with the Canaanites, so they probably have to do a little farming as well. See? So watch that mark, watch the sign. That's what I want you to look at. Because when you move on, let's go on a little quickly now, recover again everything. Let's go over to, because of the intermarrying, they create giants. Giants were born, physical, intellectual, and then the flood came. God has to get rid of all these Canaanites. Because they were so wicked, so evil, so destroy all of them. But after the flood, here we have again. People multiply. What about the spirit now? So the other thing about now, it's not just the physical thing or the mental thing. You must study the word mental correct. Huh? You know, from here it doesn't look correct. So physical, mentally, but you know, after the flood, it's no longer just about the physical thing or the mental thing. It's the spirit. Alright? It's the spirit. Because you know where the spirit comes from? That came from the devil. That came from Satan. Because that's what he wanted to from the beginning. When he was called Lucifer, he wanted to be like God. So he always think big. Big. And that's why we can see that after the flood, when God wanted people to disperse and multiply to fill the earth, then we have the descendant of Ham's people. Cush gave birth to Nimrod. And wow, he wanted to, you know, the name Cush means, another name for him is Bel, the confounder. And his name also means chaos. And that's what he did. He built a city. He started to build a city. He wanted to hold the people. His son came along. Good hunter, mighty hunter before the Lord. People look up to him. He had a lot of fans, so to speak. So he built a city to hold them. He built a great tower. I mean, those days when people build city, they don't build that thing, man. Think about it. Singapore. If you remember Singapore back in the 50s, 60s, what do we have? We only have shop houses. If you go right down to Chinatown, you know those shop houses, Peranakan type houses, we only have two story, right? And just a wall. Or just a bungalow. Like the British came to build bungalows. Upstairs, downstairs, and under what we call here, some understand, or a little bit like stilt. Underground, they can store whatever they want to store. That's what we have. Later on, the government came along and built four-story flat. Four-story flat. Then six-story. Then 14-story. Then 25-story. How high is it now that they are building? I'm not talking about hotel. I'm not talking about condo. I'm talking about public housing. How many stories they are building now? Up to 50. Think about that. So in those days, they were a lot of land. Why do Kush and Nimrod want to build this tower? If you go to ancient time in Israel, you can look, even today you can go to Israel, so the houses are, many of the time the houses are just ground floor and upper floor, and an open rooftop. That's what is very common. But this guy, you know, and his son, build a tower. Because why? They want to control the people. Big, big, big. Think about this big in size. Can go all the way from the Tower of Babel to Babylon. And you know that Babel is in Sinai. In the plain of Sinai. Plain of Sinai. Then we have the Mediterranean Sea on this side. The river you reflect is. And here, crawl all the way down, and you have the Gulf. Okay? Plain of Sinai is here. Wood of Kaidi is somewhere here. Okay? They say Abraham had to go all the way up here, then come down, because of the path, what we call the trading routes, you know. Before you can come down to Canaan land. So this is Sinai. Tower of Babel is right here. They built it here. And God came down and destroyed it. Because why? The people are not moving. And that Satan wants to hold them, wants to be recognized. You know, Satan, Lucifer cannot be recognized by God in heaven, okay? Right? But he used human on earth. And every human, every one of us is an instrument in the hand of spirits that is moving in the world today. Yes. Every one of us, we have our own spirit. Spirit means the life. Without the Spirit of God, you know, giving you that life, you cannot live. Therefore, you have your own spirit. That's why we are spirit, soul, and body. But out in this first heaven, as the Bible calls it, the environment around you, you have spirits moving. The angels, the angelic spirit, the fallen spirit, they're all moving here. Some people don't believe in ghosts. Some people don't believe in ghosts, some people don't believe in devil. But until you know someone that you really know well enough and he experienced something horrifying, then you probably think about it. Because I know one back in those days when I was in the Assemblies of God. There was this young man trained to be a preacher, you know, in Bible school and all this. And he learned and he think that, wow, sometimes people wanted to be somebody great, you know, maybe I want to be a great preacher. And he wanted to see the devil. Now sometimes people should not ask for things, Because when you ask for things, you don't know what it is, you can get yourself into a big trouble. Then he was really serious, he came up, challenging the devil to show himself. Whatever he was doing, he was fasting and praying, and day after day after day. One day, he really called for it, and the devil really appeared. And when he appeared, he was so shocked that he threw his Bible at the devil, and he said, "It caught fire." You know, some people don't realize what they're dealing with. Because here in this world, people think we're only just the physical being that we are. The animal, the trees. There's the spirit that's moving. And the Bible said there are walls in heaven. This is the heaven. There are three heavens. This atmosphere, the outer space, and the heavens of God. The third heaven. So this is the heaven that we move in. We breathe in. The birds fly. And the Satan and his fallen angel that follow him, all the angels that follow him, are here. And they are out to try to thwart God's plan to destroy. And your own spirit, don't think that your spirit is strong enough to challenge the devil. No, you can't. As long as you leave him alone, he'll leave you alone. Because why? If you are not a Christian, he can't be bothered. He'll just make you happy. Let's be alone. But when you are a Christian, that's when the devil is fed up. And that's why, because the only one thing the devil wants to do is to destroy God and his people. When the world was in a mess, everybody, the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The devil is happy. But when God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for those who believe that their sin might be washed away, that's when the devil is unhappy. And if you are a half-past-six Christian, he didn't even bother with you. Look into the Bible. Every time there is always someone who stood against, who stand up for God, who stood up for God, he's always being attacked by the devil. So in this case, what we see, God destroyed the Tower of Babel. So the people could move. Well, Tower of Babel no longer exists. But I see, in the same place later on, Babylon came up. And if you know Babylon, it's one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Do you all know that, don't you? Huh? If you ever watched a document made many years ago, in what we call Cinerama. You know what Cinerama is? I don't know whether you know about it. Like IMAX today. It's a three projector. And they show the Hanging Garden of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Beautiful, big. And that man, the king, was popped out. Until God dealt with the king. And he became like what? Like an animal eating grass. And later on, God destroyed Babylon. It will never rise again. Anything God wanted to destroy and put it permanent like Tower of Babel, it will never rise again. Babylon rise up, it down, it never rise again. But Saddam Hussein tried to raise it up. He never could do it. Huh? But what happened now today? Remember, it's a big size. In its place, a mystery Babylon, of Babylon we have. I told you that just now. It become called as mystery Babylon. See, very focus that. So it's called mystery Babylon. So, you know, it's no longer just the physical and the mental. It is the spiritual. Because the spirit now moved in the lives of the people. Satan now moved in the lives of the people to deceive them. Look at the size of the churches today. Big. But deviated away from the truth of God. A mystery Babylon is what was out there in Italy, in a place called Rome, just a little outside of it, called Vatican City. Huh? It has a population, it's a nation. I believe you know that. It's a nation. And the population of that, I think, is about 200 people or so. Huh? It has a little boundary on it. But spiritually, religiously, it has no boundaries. Because one third of the population of the world, well, according to some Christians, but out of it, how many percent of it are actually Catholic?
Huh?
The Catholic are more than any denominational group. You see. But Satan is not enough. He will manipulate other groups to make it big as well. That's why you look at the churches today. Look at the building that they built. Steeples. And they don't even realize that when the church is built, if you see some in America, you know how they build the church, and they have this steeple that goes up like this. Huh? You all know that, don't you? You have this steeple that goes up. What is this steeple? Nimrod's symbol. Nimrod's symbol. Nimrod. Nimrod has a horn. That's why he always wears a horn. You can see any legend drawn. He always have this band here with the horn. That horn shows what? Show his male organ. That he's powerful. That's what it is. And a lot of children don't realize that they have this steeple. And many of these buildings, sometimes you can see minarets. You know minarets? They're just the same. Pointing upward, pointing upward. Why do people do this? Pointing upward. What is Usain Bolt? What is he doing? You know, Usain Bolt, the runner. What do you think he would do this for? What? Shoot arrow? What? Who is shooting at? What is he trying to do? I know my footballer score a goal. They run a field like that. What are they trying to do? I mean, maybe they don't show the middle finger. They show this finger. They run around. What are they trying to do? Yeah, you know. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the symbol. You know. We all know what this symbol means, right? A-OK. It's good. But there are many other symbols, you know, you don't show it. You don't do it. You know. Alright. So, a lot of times people don't realize, because it traces to the ancient time, all the symbol came from there. So, okay, let's continue quickly now. And, into chapter 12. Now, when God came down to destroy Babel, what he was doing was to separate the people. Okay? When he scattered the people, then he's able to choose. When people clumped together, you know what God said? Come out of her, my people. What did God, in this last day message, is the message to say, come out of her, my people. Why? Because God wanted people. But if you go back into history, a few hundred years back, you can see God had to allow people to get to scatter. Look in the Dark Age. You know the Dark Ages, right? 1,000 years of Dark Ages when the Catholic Church rules the world then, at that time. When you say rules the world, we don't mean here in Asia. The known world at that time in the Dark Age, what we call Europe, it is known as the Holy Roman Empire. They put people in bondage, right? Yeah. Okay, so when the Catholic came into power, what do you think happened to the people? Many people were put to death. Many of them were running away. They ran away to other countries. And they become a minority group that tried to survive, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ with whatever they have. By and by came along Martin Luther. And Martin Luther, being a priest, served for 12 years, and God finally chose him. Because he was a man that was studying the Bible, was looking at the Bible, he was ignorant. He was doing religious thing, you know. You know what I mean? Religious thing, everything you do that. I don't know where you ever seen it, because I have seen many, when I'm downtown, where you see a Chinese temple and all this, and you see that devotees, even a lady or a woman passed by, you know, when you walk past the temple, and you see a lady will turn around and move. You know what I mean? And I think that is very true, even in India, many places. Every shrine, every temple that they come across, they must bow down, they must do, you know, some kind of a ritual. You see? And I have seen Catholic people, poor souls, I mean, you know, they're supposed to know the Bible. When the lightning strike, when the thunder strike, you ever seen that? Yeah. When you win the goal and all that, they will do that. But that has nothing to do with the Bible. It's a ritual, it's a fanatical thing, it's a traditional thing to make you feel good. And I want to tell you this, brother and sister, don't come to church to make yourself feel good. Because the Bible said, when we gather together, you're here for what? Judgment. Judgment begins in the house of God. Is that right? We are here to hear the word of God and examine ourselves. We are not here to feel good. We are here to feel miserable so they can get right with God and feel good with God. That's the way it should be. People think they go to church, at least they know, I show my face to the pastor. I'm here this Sunday, right? I was here last Sunday too, you know? Pastor John, you hear me? Things like that, you know, they want to make themselves feel good. No, it's not that. Because it's, you know, your life, your Christian life is between you and God. How you walk with God. It's not about what you show to the people. You know, making all the ritual and all this. No. In Christianity, in our life, do we do all that? No. The Bible says we thank God for everything. When we have food before us, say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Huh? We get up in the morning, we pray, say, Lord, make our day. Help me pass through the day. I'm miserable today. May I didn't do my work properly last yesterday. My office is in trouble. Please help me to get through with it. We pray. Yes. Right? And of course, when we having food in the hawker center, don't act so religious. When everybody is sitting around there, you put a plate down there, put nicely, and everybody's looking. See, I'm a Christian, right? I'm praying. But you don't have to. Just bow your head and say, thank you, Lord. And just it. But there are people that want to do that. You know, God, I don't know why, you know. You see? But with our family at the table, yes, maybe we together, we all can pray. Let's start a few people here. Let's just say a quick prayer. Don't go and take a 10 minutes prayer for the food. The food will grow cold. Because there are a lot of people who do a whole long, long prayer. You see? So when we look at what was here in the Bible, the scattering of the people in after this Tower of Babel is so that God could pick when Luther came along. And then after that, well, he separated the people. Thank God he can pull out the Lutheran because they were all nest together in tradition again. So here came John Wesley and others. And they start to build their own little group. God scattered them. Let them do whatever they want. But God is looking for those that will believe in the right way. That's right. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is pulling out the people. You don't get trapped. Here you, this is the thing that you should see. That's why Luther said, oh my, the judge will live by faith. It's not about penance. It's not about paying money to the priest to pray for someone to get out of purgatory to heaven. No, there's no second chance. There are a lot of people that believe in second chance now. The chance is when you hear the gospel. There's no second chance. As the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Because the Bible had said already, the heavens declare the glory of God. Is that not right? True. Only the fool was saved, as the Bible said. The fool has said, there's no God. And you know, there's no greater fool than a lot of scientists. But in the last 20, 30 years, they began to become more aware now. They began more aware that the singularity, very strange how they argue themselves to trap their own. They trap their own. They trap themselves and realize that that singularity cannot exist without it being a creator. And not just an atom. Think about it. The design of this whole universe. You see? So God scattered them all. Then what did he do? Let it be for a long time. Then he found this man called Abraham. Where was Abraham living?
He lived in this place.
In this region of Mesopotamia, in Sinai area. And all these places where they are filled with idol worshippers. Now, just imagine, in the beginning there was only God. God showed inside Adam and Eve. And God taught Adam and Eve what to do. And a funeral was born at Cain and Abel. And then they're supposed to know what to do and offer. And Abel did the right thing. And there's only one God whose name is Yah. But can you hear from that? Just a little bit. I don't need the blood. Just the best for God. Then deviate. What happened later on? The Canaanite people, yes, they still worship Yahweh, but later on invoke that name of God onto idols of stones and wood. Later on, after the flood, this Tower of Babel, people began to spread. Now, remember this, if you don't believe me, do a search. Internet's out there. Look at Google. Look for some information. Do you know the Hebrew writing? Originally was called Paleo-Hebrew. Paleo-Hebrew. Means to say that the alphabets or the drawing, it symbolizes something. Huh? It's like a picture. Like, don't you find that when you go to China, ancient China, the same thing. They use graphic. I believe you know that. Huh? I find it very fascinating, you know. For example, I said, run. This is run. Right? Huh? This means ta. Huh? My hand. So this is a big fish called ta. Right? You know, how words came about. The way that this graphic shows. And that's why the Chinese people, if you go into the Chinese record, they even have a record of the Great Flood. And they even have a name for the true God. I don't know how they call it in Chinese now. You know. But it's only later people have to migrate away after this destruction of Tower. People migrate. Even before the Tower of Babel was built, some of the people already migrate to China. And even to India. And even down to Africa. And even to Europe. But a majority, because they were controlled much by Nimrod. But so those that move away, they still have that knowledge of the one true God. But if by and by there's a lot of changes because men came around, they want to be recognized. A special philosopher. If you go to ancient time over there in the Roman Empire, you got Philo. He's a great philosopher. He's a great thinker. You go to China, you have Lao Tzu, you have Confucius, right? In India, you have Gautama before he was Buddha, right? Everybody is seeking for fine life, so that my mind began to sit and began to think and began to meditate. Ha! That's where the danger comes in. When you meditate on something, what do you meditate? What do you meditate? When the Christians were told to meditate, what were they told to meditate? We are told to meditate upon the Word of God. You cannot meditate upon nothing. Trying to meditate upon nothing. What is nothing? There will never be nothing. Whenever I say, okay, nothing. Hold it for as long as you can, nothing, and see what happens. Your brain will explode. Because it's impossible. You cannot last long because something will come in. And when you meditate, very long time, you know, transcendental meditation, TM they call it. There was a brother who was, years ago, was with us. Before he was a Christian, he told me he went through all these things. And one day he said he was involved in transcendental meditation. I don't know whether any of you here remember if you were there, what he told us. And he was meditating, you know. Transcendental, that his soul or spirit will leave the body, you know, and fly around. And he said he's scattered, held off of him, as he will use the word. His spirit left his body and he stopped floating out into the war, and then he was struggling to get back into his body. You know, people don't know what they are doing. Sometimes a lot of people do all kinds of strange, kind of going to strange cultic, group of worship or practice some ancient mystical religion, and end himself into big trouble. Because the spirit out here is trying to get at you. They say, mind over matter, and all that stuff. And even in Christianity, like over in South Korea, Reverend Moon, he has his own theory. Positive thinking. Think. You want a car? Keep on thinking. Say you want a car. You will get a car. I hope you try to do it and see where you get a car. You get a headache. You know, all kinds of ideas that they have. And where did that come from? That's why the spirit in this world is trying to infiltrate our minds. That we are our own boss. We are the big guy. Yeah, there's something in life that we have to be in control, right? One of the things is your health. Yes. You're supposed to eat the right kind of food. You are in control. Don't go and eat junk food all the time. See? But when the people are scattered out, they were all over the world. But you see, God's concentration was in the Middle East. Well, some people ask me, where we used to discuss, why did not God choose someone out of China? And the gospel will be in China, right? Correct? Now that's why my father is saying that the Christianity is a religion for the white man and white people. Because in China we have Chinese religion. It's for Chinese. And there are people who believe that in heaven you have one area for Chinese religion, one area the Indian religion, one area the American religion, one area you have the African religion. So there are so many religion in heaven. Really? We say this, that God has His choice. He's sovereign. So if He chose, wanted to work only in the Middle East, He had a plan. Already had a plan. Even before He created the heavens and the earth. Because He could see the end from the beginning of what He wanted to do. And how He wanted to bring it about. Because He wanted to show Himself how He wanted to show Himself. And we cannot question God. We are just clean. Right? So scattered throughout the Middle East, as people move over here, is the area God wanted to intend to do. Because this area of Canaan land, what we have called Middle East today, or Israel today, it happened to be that land, Israel, happened to be the land where God first put Adam and Eve. It's called the Garden of Eden. Right? A lot of people don't believe that. Nobody ever knows about it. They think that Garden of Eden was somewhere out here. It's called what we call that? The what we call that? The crescent? Huh? The fertile crescent, yes. They called it the fertile crescent, and they said that's where the Garden of Eden was. But this kind of that's tradition assumption. And because the Bible mentioned about four rivers, and two rivers still exist. These two rivers still exist. Tigris and Euphrates. So they are still there. So the Garden of Eden must be there. They have not realized that the earth, again, in those days, there were no seas like this. No ocean. It was just a mess of land with pockets of water. Because water was surrounding the earth. There was no Israel. At that time, there was no America. I already told you that. But you see, a lot of people don't know about it. They're not lost in because tradition is still with it. When you find the truth, then you begin to understand. And all this ocean of water came about is only after the 40 day and 40 night rainwater came out from heaven and flooded the earth. And later on, when the water goes back, God only took some water up into space. That's why we have a problem today. We don't have this coolness because we have season now. And the earth is tilted because of the water. And it's no longer 360 30 degree. Trouble over darkness, trouble over light, no more, because the earth is tilted. So you get, well, some country you get total darkness for 24 hours and total daylight for 24 hours. Crazy, isn't it? It's because of the water. And that's why we have the land separation. But this place, Israel, is the place where Garden Eden really was. But God said, it is my land. And that's where he got Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Right? That's where Jesus Christ was sacrificed. Same place. It was the same place that God slaughtered the animals and killed Adam and Eve. Same place. Even the Jews said, this is the land. This Moriah. He believed in Moriah where God asked Abraham to sacrifice it. That was the place that God first visited mankind. The Jew have some, as Jesus said to the woman at the well, the Samaritan. You know, when he was talking to her and asked her for water, he said, oh, I'm a Samaritan, you are a Jew. Well, nothing in common. You know, Jesus said, okay, go and call your husband. And the woman said, no, I don't have. You have five, and the one you have enough, of course, not your husband. Whoops, how did you know that? Because the Bible said, and she said, she confessed. He said, the one that is to come, the Messiah will come. He will do this thing. And Jesus was talking to her, he said, you know what? If you know who I am, you will ask me for living water. And you know, Jesus Christ said, you worship, you do not know what. Salvation is of the Jew. Wow, you know what? That's very true. A lot of people don't want to admit to it. A lot of people who are so much against Israel do not understand. Salvation is of the Jew. Because salvation came through Israel. That's right. Because God chose Abraham, then the nation of Israel came forth. That's why Jesus came and died. And we are Gentiles, we are not Jews. But the oracles that was given to the children of Israel came through them to us. You know? God dealt with the children of Israel. And because they were stubborn, God blinded them for a while. Take the gospel and give it to the Jew. Give it to the Gentiles. And we have it for a temporary. And after that, after God dealt with finished dealing with the Gentile, he will take the gospel and go back to Israel again. And this is what they are waiting for out there in Israel. The Bible prophecy about the coming of the end is coming. But he chose Abraham. But why Abraham? What's so special about Abraham? Huh? Most everybody scattered throughout the world, they are all practically many of them worshipping idols. Remember, still remember the name of Yahweh. But they think that Yahweh is a piece of stone or a piece of some images. Think about it. And we read even later on, even his children later on, they were still keeping little idols. Yes. And I know that some Christians like to wear a necklace with a cross and things like that, huh? But yes, there's no value in that. And you notice Catholicism, they use beads with a cross, huh? Keep away from all these idol things. Things that have no value. You see. But it's okay if you want to wear a cross around a necklace. But don't go and wear a big one. I have seen some Lutheran priest wear a big one, very big cross. I don't know, a huge one. It's not that. Because God is the Spirit, and there to worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Everywhere you go, the whole universe, this whole earth, God is watching, God is there. Wherever you may be, you can talk to the Lord. In spirit and in truth, through that He exists, that He is. Truth according to His word, that we can talk to Him anytime. God is our Father. Huh? Now we have this knowledge. By that time, Abraham, his uncle, his nephew, his all the relation, all lived out there in this area of the Fertile Crescent. What did they worship? Huh? See? Remember there was where the Sinai, the Babel was. And they didn't move. They were there. But some Nehemic people went out to Africa a little. Some they stay here. Some the Japanese, of course, they move out. Some of them are the Shemites still remain here. Some of them they move over to China. The son, which is supposed to be a descendant from him, move over to China and India also. So what then? What to Abraham? Now that's God's choice. That's God's choice. You may say, why God wants to choose somebody else? But that is His choice. And you should be grateful, and I should be grateful that God chose us to hear His word, to know Him. Yes. If our heart is there, he that search for God early, look for Him early, will find Him. But it is God that search for us, actually. It's only because He put us something in our heart that we long to know. You know, I never was a... I was a child. My mother, of course, you know, my mother was fun. My father's second wife. She was from my Presbyterian background. And talked to me about Jesus. And that's something about that name. Jesus. There is something about that name that made me interested to want to go to church and find out who is or who was this Jesus thing. And so when God put that little thing in my heart, He draws me. So there must be something in Abraham's heart. I don't know. Abraham. Maybe his great-grandfather, as everybody else, all worshipping idols, he may be looking up there. You know, about this great Yahweh. And he might be looking at the foolishness of his relative worshipping all these idols, worshipping God in vain. But there was something in him. I don't know. But the Bible said in chapter 12, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow. You know, I don't know, you know, the Bible don't tell us in full detail. Just imagine, Abraham was about, you know, I guess at a young age, about 70-something years old, and God suddenly appeared to him and talked to him. Now, how great they must be. How awesome they must be. Huh? He's just being alone and just thinking about God and wondering about this great God, and suddenly God spoke to him. You know? It became very, very personal. You know something about God? He's very personal. He gets very personal with people. If you are personal with him, he will be with you. So he said to him, get out of your country and from your kindred kind and from your father's house. Wow. Completely separate from your own relative, your father's family. Separate from your father's family. From your relative, from all your kind. To a place that I will show you. Now, he was living there at that time, and the people there was called, well, you know, what is the name he will be? He came from the Shemite line, right? But people living in that time might be called a Chaldean, and he might be called a Hebrew or the Hebrew, whatever. Their name was not actually given to us yet. Okay? But the Bible, God already through Shem spoke of him. That Shem become the father of the Hebrew people. And it was through Abraham that the Hebrew people exist. The Hebrew name, Hebrew, never was a name. Okay? It means Hebrew. And it comes from the word believed to be from the descendant of one of them called the name Eber or Heber. And they just get the name Hebrew. Ibri, crossing over. And that's why Abraham crossed over from the river over to this side. And that's called for the Hebrew. Later on, he becomes the Hebrew. These people are Hebrew. These people are from there. Like in Chinese, we call what? From what we call Guakok Lang, Simi Lang. You know, you got this word that because he's not from this area, he's from the other side. Right? Here, for example, in Singapore, we Chinese identify as Chinese Singaporean, right? But for the Chinese from China, we call them Chinese nationals. It's all right. So there is a word that changes, you know. So the people who are living there at that time in this Canaan, and anybody who come over here, they call them, these people are Hebrew. It means they come from over there. But it was only later on that Abraham's people became multiplied so much that they are known as the Hebrew people. So that's what's Abraham. God said, come on. Separate from your father, your kindred kind, everything. And unto a land that I will give it to you. Watch over there. I will show you. And I'll make you a great nation. One. God told him. And he became a great nation. Today, even Israel was a small nation. It's a great nation. They are the most intelligent people. Huh? Their IQ are very high. They don't know that. All of the things you hold in your hand, you use today. You think, oh, this is an American make. Hey! Think about it twice. Your computer, your smartphone, your USB, they're all from this Hebrew mind. There are many things that were done research in Hebrew, in Israel, that you know not of. You know? People, the internet were American. Ha ha. Careful. Even the bombs, there were even all those fusion stuff and all this came by some Hebrew mind. I think you know who it is. It's all there. They are great people. Very intelligent. Their survey have been done on it. That their high IQ are very high. That's why they can win the Six-Day War. A nation against six other countries around it, or seven. Huh? A small little nation with not many planes and could destroy all those neighboring planes. Because God gave them the intelligence. I'll make you a great nation. And that's what it was. And I will bless thee and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Anyway, Abraham, his name was great. Because he was the father of our faith. He is the beginning. The beginner of our faith. Because he dared to believe God. And because he dared to believe God, God imputed upon him righteousness. Right there and then. That's the reason why all we have to do is believe. And immediately we become children of righteousness. In the eyes of God. See? Okay, let's finish up these next two verses. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's right. Israel had been a blessing to the nations of the world. But yet it was hated by many nations, right? Every problem in the world they said is Israel. Israel, Israel, they're going to be kicked off the land and drop them into the Mediterranean Sea. Try to do that and see what happens. Because then they might think that they have a God that's greater than Yahweh. Until they read the Bible. Huh? And God says, he that bless you, I will bless. Right? And I'll bless them that bless you, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In Abraham, every one of us are blessed. Because why? The gospel came through Abraham's descendants. Every family. Think about it. Every race in the world, there are families that believe in Abraham's blessing. They believe in Jesus Christ. There are Arab people out there. I don't know where you realize about it. You've read in the paper. couple of days ago about the Prinsep Street Presbyterian Church. The history behind it, now it has become a national heritage. It was back in 18-something. It was built by a white man. For who? For the local community. The Malay were there, they went to hear a sermon. The Chinese were there, they heard a sermon. Huh? Then at the turn of the century, the 19-something, 20th century, the Sultan of Johor said that anybody who is a Malay convert to Christian is no longer a Malay. That's why we have a problem. And so back then I remember when I was back in the 50s and 60s, there were a lot of Malay people. They were converted to Christianity in Malaysia and even Singapore. They were under persecution. They were sent to some churches, helped them to go over to Indonesia. Because Indonesia, though there were Malay people, you know, Malay, there was such a Malay Palaguin, huh? You know, it stretched all the way from Myanmar down Malaysia, Indonesia, all the way to Philippines, upward. You know, all the Agig Palaguin. Right? But there are every race, there are people that believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and which came down from Abraham. I saw all the family of the heaven, all the family will be blessed because of that. And whosoever bless you, I will bless him. Whoever curse you, God said to Abraham, he will be cursed. Watch what happened in the Middle East. Soon, we see what it was going to develop into a big, big war. As the family of God, Israel, is a big nation, not in size, but in the blessings of God. And what's the nation wrought about them? Big in size physically, which will always come against Israel. They'll be cursed. God is no respecter of person. This word is true. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, as the Bible said. He will hold fast to his covenant with Abraham. So let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, once again for your grace. Thank you for your word. Take it, Father, further down and bring it further, Lord, to those who want to know more. And in the searching of thy word, Father, you bless them too, Lord. So we thank you for your grace. Thank you for Abraham. Thank you, Lord, for the nation of Israel. Through him Jesus came, and who gave his life as a propitiation for our sin, and make himself as a sin offering, Lord, for us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.